trees are up everywhere. You can see that we have our beautiful trees. This is part of the set, not giving away any secrets, but part of the set for the first Christmas story. And as Christians, as we think about Christmas, we think about the message of God coming into the world and the way God came into the world, and this idea that it doesn't matter what kind of dark that you might be living in, there is a power that can come into that dark and erase that dark. Because these are dark days that we live in. And I mean that very literally. The darkness is, like, we were eating supper last night at 5 o'clock, and we were just talking about how dark it is, literally. But, of course, there are darknesses that we all live within. And at Christmas time, we remember this message that there is a power that comes into that darkness and changes it, transforms it something into light. And people that have never heard that before will say, okay, wait a second. You mean that Christians really believe that there is something, and you call that Jesus, but there is some kind of power that can actually come into the brokenness and the corruption and the darkness and the struggle and all of that stuff that we live through? You believe that there is something that can actually come into that and change it and transform it into something good? And we're like, yes, that's what Christmas is all about. That's why we sing Christmas carols. That's why we say Merry Christmas. That we really believe that. And so, we're thinking about Christmas. As Christians, we think about that wonderful, beautiful message that God comes into our dark. Jesus said amazing things. And when we come to this table, we remember those amazing things that Jesus said, because Jesus said, you do this now in remembrance of me. And so we remember. Jesus said, anyone who is willing to lose their life will find their life. That's amazing. And on some deep, deep level, no matter what tradition or what spirituality you might have in you, on some level, we know that that's true, that the way to true happiness is finding ways to help people. Like, we know that on some deep level. It's an amazing thing. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you can't know who God is. That's remarkable. Unless you become, because in our culture, as was the saying when Jesus first said those words, in our culture, here's the things we hold up as highest: knowledge, power, money, social status. Like, children don't have any of those things. And Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you can't know who God is. That's an amazing thing. We remember the amazing things that Jesus said at this table. Jesus said, there will be a day when all suffering will be over. Like, just try to imagine what your life would be like if you had no suffering at all in it. Like, just, like, no loneliness, no worry, no disease. Jesus said there will be a day when happiness will be perfect. And, like, we can't even imagine what that would be like. And it's just an amazing thing to believe, and we remember that as we come to this table. And then Jesus said this. And we're like, how? I mean, it's all through the Gospels, over and over and over. He says it, and then he shows it. Healing miracles, one right after the other, the purpose of which is just to say to us really clearly that all things are possible. And we're like, how does that even happen? And Jesus said, I'll show you how it happens. It's easy. It's simple. When we experience, and I know that you experience this, when you experience things that you once thought were impossible becoming possible, it's the source of your inspiration. And if you can believe that impossible things can become possible things, you will live an inspired life. Wouldn't it be amazing to just live from the beginning of your life to the end of your life inspired because you really believe that all things are possible? And when you get a group of people who are inspired in that way, they can do remarkable things. Like, if you're feeling inspired today, you have just energy to go out and make changes to to the world around you. And if you're not feeling inspired, it's not likely you're going to make any good changes in the lives of people around you. And Jesus said, if you believe this is true, you're going to live an inspired life. Case in point, a couple of things. Terry Fox was so inspiring to so many people because he did something that just we would have thought impossible, like running across the country with one good leg, one great spirit of determination. To this day, we're inspired by that because we see that the impossible has become possible. And now in Canada, there is a Terry Fox culture. And we're all inspired. More recently, 15-year-old Greta Thunberg. And how she has, like, you talk about David and Goliath. Like, this girl is standing up to the most powerful forces on Earth, and she's saying, there is hope for our climate, but we need to make a change. And when other young people see her doing that, they think, it's possible that I can make a change, too. She's inspired hundreds of thousands of people, and of young people, hasn't she? I just read yesterday an article. There was an article about a church in San Francisco. It was on Facebook. Somebody posted it, maybe somebody here. But this church, not a little bit bigger than ours, opened up its doors to the homeless so that they would have a place to sleep at night. And there was a picture of people just laying on the pews. There were 250 people in this church laying on the pews. And it's kind of like, it's just, I just was inspired by that. Because sometimes we think, geez, that's just impossible. How are we going to do that? And then you see a story of something like that becoming possible, and it's inspiring. And living in a spirit of inspiration changes us, changes the people around us. We can get things done when we live in that spirit. I want to show you Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to put this up. You know the story. This is about biblical inspiration. It's part of the Christmas story. Mary was just told by an angel that she is to give birth to the Messiah. Here's the words. The angel said to Mary, this is biblical inspiration, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. It's like, when we hear that, we need to understand that this isn't just Mary that this applies to. Like, this is just basic theology that God comes to each one of us in that way, and through the power of God will be born good things through us. And Mary is ecstatic, and she sings the song that the church now calls the Magnificat. It's a song of praise to God because her whole life has been transformed because the impossible now has become possible. He's done great things for me, she sings. Jesus says some amazing things, and this is one of them. So we're like, well, how does that happen, though? I mean, give me a recipe. Is that just me? Like, give me a step-by-step so that I can go through a process where I can make this happen in my life, because that would be really a good thing if I could make that happen in my life. The impossible becoming possible. And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to do it. I'll tell you. The answer shines through the whole New Testament. And last Sunday, Joel gave us the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, there's a miracle that happens that's recorded in the Bible where thousands and thousands of people who didn't have anything to eat were crowding around Jesus. And the disciples said, what are we going to do? We're in an impossible situation. And Jesus said, they need to be fed. And they're going, I know they need to be fed, but how are we going to do it? It's an impossible situation. And Jesus said, there's nothing. There's nothing that's impossible. And then Jesus said, I want you to partner with me. Because if you partner with me, the impossible will become possible. That's what he said, very simply. You need to be a part of this transformation from impossible to possible. And we're like, okay. So now I can kind of get my hands on that. Tell me more. There are certain things that only God can do, but then Jesus says there are also things that God wants you to do if you want to see the impossible become possible. The things that only God can do. That's why we come here to worship, is to celebrate some of the things that only God can do. And when you look up at the stars on a clear night and you just see infinity above you, And you're just thinking, this is so far above anything that I could ever do or even imagine. When Kimberly and I were in the desert in California this past summer, we went to Joshua Tree National Park. And we were lamenting just yesterday when I was kind of talking about this, that we weren't there at night. We were only there in the day. Because if you're in the desert at night, you see a canopy that will just blow your mind. And I know that some of you have seen that. Or the resurrection at springtime. You're seeing everything just explodes out of the ground. And you're going, this is so far from anything that I could ever do. There are things that only God can do. And we marvel at them and celebrate them. Another example of things that only God can do. Totally separate from anything we could ever do. There is a voice that will be singing in the first Christmas Story choir. It's a woman's voice, and that woman's voice sings a solo. And that's all I'm going to tell you, because I can't let the secret out. But when you hear this voice, you are going to know that it is a voice that comes here on angels' wings. It's a voice that brings heaven to earth. And when you hear that voice, you're like, how come I can't sing like that? Like, you can't explain how these things happen. Like, this is a voice that is just, God just comes, and it's like, you can't explain it. You can't explain it. Here's another example. It has to do with the Christmas story as well. So, for the offering, the band sings a song, and Kimberly sent me a few links and said, what song do you think the band could sing for the offering? I watched these links on YouTube, and they were good, but I didn't really think they fit. So then I thought to myself, well, I'll try to write something. I'll try to write a song. Kind of tricky, because I could write a song, and then if it's no good, then what do we do? Because any songwriter will tell you that for every 5 songs they write, they might get one good one if they're lucky. So I thought, well, I'm going to try, but I felt stress. So we went to bed that night. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, I'm lying on my back in bed, Kimberly's beside me snoring, and I'm just laying there. Now listen, no, she's not here. She'll hear that later. From 6 o'clock in the morning to 6:30, and I was laying on my back in bed, half asleep, a song came to me in half an hour. Verses, the bridge, the melody, everything came to me. I can't explain how that happened. I got up, I was excited, I felt inspired, because what I thought was impossible has now become possible, and I wrote the words down, and I went into the church, into my office, and did some stuff, and I was just feeling very happy, very inspired. I got home, grabbed my guitar, sat down in the dining room, looked at the words, and it was all pure Greek to me. I mean, I could not, for the life of me, remember the tune of the song that God had given me. And I was devastated. You know the expression, the Lord gives and the Lord takes? Well, when the Lord takes, it really hurts. And I was really crushed. I didn't know what to do, so I went upstairs to my bedroom, and I kneeled down, and just beside the bed, where often is where I'll just pray. And I kneeled down and I said, God, I really need to get this song back. Within 5 minutes, it just came to me again. The whole melody, everything came. I went down, I tried it on the guitar. There it was. I can't explain that. I can't explain how God would give it to me first. And then I lose it somehow. And then in prayer, I pray that I might get it back, and God gives it back to me. I can't explain that. It's not for me. And when I tell you this, when you hear it, you'll know, this is a really good song. And that's not hubris. Listen, understand what I'm saying. That's not hubris. That is me saying that it didn't even come from me. There are certain things that only God can do, and we celebrate those things in worship. And then there is this story of the feeding of the 5,000. And this story is such a wide open window in as far as how we can see how God makes all things possible. And Joel was talking about this, and I'm sitting there listening to Joel, and I'm just like, that's it. There's all these thousands of people around, they have nothing to eat, and Jesus says, What I want to do with you is I want us to feed them together. And they're like, I don't even know what that means. And then a little boy comes out with his lunch. And the little boy says, I'm willing to share my lunch. And Jesus says, and I paraphrase, thank you, little boy, for planting the seed that will show us that the impossible can become possible, and that thousands of years from now, people will be listening to this story and see that all they have to do is find a way to share what they have. For the impossible to move to possible. Like Jesus says all through the New Testament, it's like, I'm going to make this really easy for you. Jesus says, have you ever heard these words before? Jesus says to people, yeah, we've heard them before. And Jesus is saying, good. Now, find a way to do those words. That's all he's saying. I'm going to make it really. That's what it's going to take for you to see the impossible become possible. It's amazing we remember this at communion. He's like, it's in your hands. God will do incredible things, but so can you. That song that God gave to me. I am hesitant to ever use myself as a positive example, as though here's what I do and you do the same. Because I have a hard time getting these things right. But I was thinking about this song. What if I never would have acted? I mean, I had this thing, but it actually took quite a bit of work to get it to where it's actually going to be a benefit to anyone. I had to arrange it. I had to practice it. I had to sort of make it my, I had to remember the chords. And then the band came over on Wednesday night and we had to practice it. Tin whistle, fiddle, piano, harmonica, bass, drums. It's like herding cats getting these people together. We practiced it over and over and over and over again. It takes work. I think what happens with us is we get the vision or we get the direction. But oftentimes we don't get what is on that paper. We don't get we don't practice it, I guess is what I'm saying. Wouldn't it be amazing to live in a state of constant inspiration? It's possible because the things that God can do are so beautiful that we can't even yet understand it until that day we stand face to face with God. All God asks of us is to share a lunch. All God asks of us is to put into practice what's on paper. That's it. What miraculous things are we capable of when we trust God enough to do what God only can do, and when we trust God enough to do what we can do. Here's a one sentence prayer that we can finish on. May we have the strength and the courage, God, to partner with you to make nothing impossible real in our lives. We remember this at this table. Let's pass the offering plate to folks. Hayden's going to come up and sing a song before we take communion. And if you're not sure how we do this, I'll give you some simple instruction before we have communion.